Take your Bible, open it please to 1 Peter chapter 5. While you're turning, we do want to welcome again the throngs of you that share this hour on the internet. You're a part of the evening service of the South Heights Baptist Church, and this is the pastor bringing the evening message, casting all our care upon him. We begin reading in chapter 5 of Peter's first letter, beginning in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, he's talking to the younger pastors, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Notice verse 5 again. It says, we are to be clothed in humility because God resisteth the proud. That word resisteth means to set oneself against. The whole of God's creation is arrayed against pride. Pride is part of our fallen nature, our human desire to be at the center of attention. We like to be praised. We like to be honored. We like to be number one. Doesn't take too long for one of those beautiful babies after they're born to pretty quickly learn that they are number one. The whole world revolves around number one, and I am it. I can cry and a big 200-pound man can come to my attention and at my command just like that. All I've got to do is make a noise. In our home, growing up, our first set of kids, I didn't get up much for the kids. I had to go to school or to work or both. And so my wife did that, and she would disappear from the bedroom for hours, and I'd wake up and she wasn't there, and I would go into the living room and she would be in a rocking chair with one of the children, specifically the first one, rocking back and forth. She's asleep, the baby's still awake. I learned that mothers can rock in their sleep. And she'd be, so you know, our youngest one who's in the sound booth tonight would fight sleep. Y'all know what I'm talking about, mothers, fight sleep. Might miss something, so we're gonna stay awake. And I learned how to put him to sleep real easy. And finally, I would go in there and she'd be just trying to stay awake, rocking him. And I would ask him, do you want me to rock? No, then you better go to sleep. And he'd sure enough go off. We learn as an infant that the whole world, we think, revolves around us. It's part of our prideful nature. There's nothing wrong with having pride in your work. In other words, doing a good job for a day's pay, you know, doing a good job. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the self-pride, pride of self. They sell a lot of cars and a lot of fancy things for your home to people who are trying to show off. Show off. You ever seen these beautiful mid-60s muscle cars come fully restored driving past you, and here's an old guy with white hair driving it? Amen. Unbelievable. He couldn't get one when he was a teenager, so now he's driving one. I've got a friend in Broken Arrow, has a 64, I think it is, boat-tailed Corvette. All the numbers match. All the colors match. It's a perfect prime restoration. And you know, he's 70 something years old, he's all bent over, but he can get in that car and drive it around town, show off. Pride is part of our fallen nature. It's a characteristic of it, and God has set himself against it. Lucifer fell from heaven because of pride. Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden because of pride. You take that and eat that forbidden fruit, you'll be wise. You won't die. You'll know more. Oh, that's the proverbial greener grass on the other side of the fence. untold thousands and thousands across the centuries have failed to live as God would have them to because of pride. I'm not going to walk down that aisle. I'm not going to confess my sins. I'm not going to be baptized. Why, I'd feel a fool. What would my friends think? What would my classmates think if they knew I was a Christian? Someone has said years ago, if you were arrested and on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Pride keeps us from speaking at the grocery store when someone's talking about God. I don't know what they'll think of me. Pride keeps us from witnessing as we should. Pride keeps us from humbling ourselves before God. Yet God says we're to be clothed in humility and humble ourselves, verse 5. We're to be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That word clothed is an interesting word. It is a picture in the original language of binding oneself with garments, binding garments to yourself that are worn by a slave. Worn by a slave. You're to put on prisoner's clothes, slave clothes. We're to assume the role, Peter says, as a slave. And I'm the Lord's servant. Everybody is a servant to God. Everybody that's a Christian. We're all part of His army. We're all part of His family, and we're to serve Him. He's our master. The First Methodist Church here in town, which isn't located where it was years ago, built a building downtown, and above the door it says, "The Master is here and calleth for thee." We don't hear many Christians talking about Jesus as our master. You know why? Because it's not, doesn't fit the pride model. I don't want to be a servant. I want to be in charge. We belong to Jesus. He bought us with the price of His shed blood on the cross. We bow our will to His will voluntarily. Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." We're to bend our will to Him. Like a reed bends in the wind to the will of the wind, or soft wax yields to the imprint of an insignia. We're not to fight against God. We're not to insist on our own way. We're certainly not to demand that our Heavenly Father give us that which we covet. There's a whole school of false theology out there that teaches that you can name the thing that you want. You can claim it in Jesus' name, and God has to give it to you. Well, I'm here to tell you, friend, God's not obligated to give you anything. Only because of who and what He is does He give us eternal life. We don't deserve it. We certainly don't have any business demanding anything from God. I just think, you know, I kind of cringe when I see that on the television or hear it on the radio or somewhere on the internet. You know, I see this or hear this, and I think, you know, God can send lightning bolts just as well as He can send blessing. Who are we to, you know, strut into the presence of God and demand anything? Instead, we're to choose to be His servant. As we bend our will to His will. And the result is He conforms us to the image of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? As we allow ourselves to bend to His will, He changes us, makes us into Christ's image. There's a story about a little boy who was terribly crippled, horribly crippled. And he saw the streetcar stop at his corner. And this little crippled boy hollered out to the streetcar driver, "Wait, wait, I'm coming, mister. Don't leave, wait for me. I'm coming, wait." So the streetcar conductor heard him and left the door open and didn't take off. And the little boy, that poor crippled lad, he clambers up the steps on his hands and feet, just drags himself into the streetcar. He finds a seat next to a man who has watched all of this, and he's just as happy as he can be. And the man who looked at him and watched and heard as he yelled for the streetcar, watched him drag himself up the steps and down the aisle and into the seat, he looks at that boy with wide-eyed amazement. He says, "Son, you seem so happy, and you're so bright, and you're so glad. How can you be that way, seeing as how you're so terribly crippled?" Well, the crippled lad looked up at him and smiled and said, "My father says that God always gives us what's best. Don't you think I ought to be happy with God's best?" What a wonderful father that boy had to teach him that God knows what's best. I met a fella years ago at church camp named Jerry Gray. Wonderful Christian. He's probably with the Lord now. He was an orderly, we don't call him that anymore, at the hospital at the Strategic Air Command base in Omaha. He was afflicted with cerebral palsy. If you know anything about cerebral palsy, you know that it affects every individual slightly differently. There's some similar characteristics, but everyone's a little different. Jerry could walk, although he walked very poorly. And Jerry could talk, although he talked very poorly. And Jerry's job was to just do whatever they needed him to do at the hospital. Well, one day his job was to take a glass, this is how long ago it was, bottle of special medicine, an IV medicine. Down, you have to get this downstairs and on the other side of the hospital because there's a man dying. He has to have this. And Jerry grabbed it and began to go down. Of course, he walked, you know, y'all ever see the movies with Jerry Lewis where he walks funny? That's how he walked. He walked funny like this. And he went down, can't wait on the elevator. He started going down a set of stairs and fell. He must have watched football as a boy because he tucked that under his arm and rolled with it and got all the way to the bottom of the stairs without it breaking. He got up and ran the rest of the way and got it to the patient on the other end of the hospital. While we were visiting with him one day, this is in the early 70s, one of the hippie kids, Jesus freaks we used to call them, came up to Jerry and said, "Hey man, I really feel sorry for you, man." "Why?" He said, "Well, you know, it must be really bad not being normal like everybody else, man." And my friend Jerry Gray said, "Look, I have been like this my whole life. I am normal. You people are the ones who are weird." What a fabulous attitude. What a fabulous attitude. I'm all right. I'm just praising God for what he's done for me. I may be afflicted, but God knows what's best. God loves us, and he guides us. We don't know what's best. God does, even when we don't understand it. A.M. Overton was a pastor whose, during his life, had a horrible loss. And as he sat in the funeral service for his beloved family member, as the preacher was preaching, he penned these words, "My father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know he, God, maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much more, much now I cannot see, my eyesight is far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by, the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, it just means to do what God says. It means that God invites us to take on the role of a servant to him. He invites us to yield ourselves to his will, to allow him to bend us and mold us and shape us into Christ's image, so that one day when we stand at the gate to come in, we'll hear the "Well done, oh God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest." So when the Bible says, the Lord says, look and live, I'm going to look. When God says, believe and be saved, I'm going to believe. When God says, trust, I'm going to trust him. God says, wash and be cleansed, I shall wash. When God says, confess in Matthew 10:32, I'm going to confess. When he says, be baptized, Matthew 28, I shall be baptized. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We're to empty ourselves of us and be filled with his fullness. You know, God can't fill a cup that's already full. God can't fill a cup that's already full. A man that is filled up with himself is unusable to God. You have to come to the end of yourself. That guy thinks the whole world revolves around him. He doesn't need God. He doesn't need the Lord. He doesn't need the Bible. He doesn't need a Savior. He's fine, thank you very much. He's full of himself. And God can't use him. But Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And when we do, Peter says, we're able, verse 7, to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. Life is full of cares. The cares of this life are all around us. They press upon us. We could have a health care issue, or a job issue, or a family issue, problems in the world around us, all of these things and 1,000 other things like them press us on every side. And God invites us to be clothed in humility, to bow ourselves, humble ourselves, allow our will to comply with his. Do you know how your signal light in your car works? Do you know how the turn signal in your car works? There is a bimetal strip in your car called a flasher. It's a little canister, and it's two pieces of metal which expand and contract at different rates depending on the amount of heat. And when you turn your Now, some of you haven't bought the optional turn signals yet for your car, but you should. I have a friend in Dallas that ran the Pontiac dealership, Mark Good. And after we'd lived in Dallas for about a year, I went up to Mark and said, tell me how much and how many people buy the optional turn signals in Dallas. I don't find anybody using them. But when you have one and you think to use it, you push the lever, there's a current that flows through that bimetal strip. And on one side, it pulls and makes contact. And it goes like that. And then the current contact is broken. And the current quits flowing and it cools off. And the other one pulls it back. That's how it works. And that's how we are to be. We're to allow the Lord to conform us. Conform us. Not fighting back now, but I'm just giving you the idea as an illustration. We're to allow him to overlay us and conform us. Conform us. the pressures of life, like that signal switch. The heat causes distortion, and then God pulls us back. Distortion pulls us back. We're to be clothed in humility, humble ourselves to comply to His will, and then we're to cast all of our care. Notice it's cast all your care. That's interesting. It's not plural. Why? Because when you are overloaded with the troubles of life, there's so many, you can't separate them. They're just one more thing. It's this and 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 this. And all of that just presses on you to the point that it's one unbearable load. So Jesus speaking under, or God speaking through Peter, says we're to cast all our cares upon Him. Cast them on Him. Because He cares for us. Someone says, well, how do I know Jesus cares for me? A songwriter wrote a very beautiful answer to that question. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained, too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press, and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him? Does He see? And then He gives the answer. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And you can lay your burden at His feet, and He will care for you. He'll reach down. Speaking of songwriters, there was one that wrote a song that came out during Christmas time several years ago. And she wrote, or the songwriter wrote, I've often heard the Christmas carols, the carols say, that baby Jesus in the hay made no crying as He lay within His manger bed. But I believe that Jesus cried so He could feel and empathize with the child that's deep inside each lonely tear I shed. When I read that Jesus wept, I know He understands. When I read that Jesus wept, I feel His gentle hand coming down with God's compassion, healing wounds that sin has left. Jesus cares. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. People may fail you. Pastors may fail you. Church leaders may fail you. Your parents may fail you. But Jesus never fails. Father, thank You so much for the Lord Jesus, who loves us and gave Himself for us on the cross, and that we can cast our cares upon Him, all of them, in one piece or in a thousand. And He loves us as we pour out our heart to Him for help. Lord, help us to put on the clothing of humility, humble ourselves. And then, Lord, help us to allow Your will to become our will. And then as we cast our cares upon You, leave them there. As we used to sing, take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And not let the world and the flesh and the devil beat us up over the circumstances and exigencies of life, but just trust Him, because we know He knows what's best, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.